In 2015 and 2016, the neonatal unit at the Countess of Chester Hospital in England experienced a shocking surge in infant mortality rates.
As authorities worked to uncover the cause of the tragedy, nurse Lucy Letby came under suspicion. Arrested three times over a period of 2 years, Letby now stands trial, accused of 8 murders and 10 attempted murders of babies under her care.
With allegations ranging from injecting air into babies' veins to using insulin to end their lives, the case has captivated the nation and sparked a fierce debate over medical malpractice and the duty of care owed to vulnerable patients.
Hear the full story on our new podcast, Nurse of Death, available wherever you get podcasts.
Search and press subscribe so you don't miss any of the chilling details in this shocking story. Search Nurse of Death right now and press subscribe where you get podcasts.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
So, Stephen Smith's body still to be exhumed. Sled already saying, yeah, it was a homicide, and we're going to start treating it as such. I applaud the work of Eric Bland and his firm on this, convincing them finally to take this a little more serious. This is not going to be a conversation about implicating any individual in the murder of Stephen Smith, but more so a conversation about what sort of evidence may be out there, considering this has never been investigated as a homicide until now. Other than independent speculation this way and that way. Body to be exhumed, so we've talked about that a little bit. We've talked with some forensic experts on that. Speaking to the possibility of maybe there being some DNA, maybe under fingernails, things of that nature, with what we typically see with someone putting up a fight and with what we know now about Stephen Smith's death, or at least now that we have confirmed, I think we all knew this to begin with, but that we have confirmed that this was in fact a homicide, not a hit and run. If he was attacked, if there was a struggle, there may be some DNA there. Maybe. There's going to be the question of contamination. There's going to be the question of, was it all cleaned up in the process of getting his body ready for burial? Beyond that, what other footprints are going to exist 8 years after a murder that was never investigated as a murder, meaning there's not going to be all of this police evidence sitting in a locker somewhere that can be reviewed because it didn't happen? So, digital data, 2015. Like going way back in time, right? We should have like some Western music. In fact, I think we can do that. We good? Okay, here we go. Yeah. Kids, sit around the campfire. Let me tell you about a time we called 2015. Yes, it was a whole 8 years ago, but to you, it was a time of desperation. A time before VR. A time before AI. You see, we mainly used Facebook back then. You know, something like that. Anyway, what exists? What will still exist? What's going to be in a cloud? Clouds did exist back then. What's going to be on social media? Social media did exist back then. We're talking past the MySpace era. We're talking mainly Facebook, Twitter. Insta was kind of in its infancy. What is going to be out there? And for that, we are going to be talking right now with an expert in the area that can give us some insight as to exactly, you know, what's going to be out there. Clark Walton is joining us. He's an expert in forensics and digital forensic. He's the principal with Forensic Cybersecurity Expert Reliance Forensics. Clark, welcome to the Wild West. But I want to go right into that, Clark. What's going to exist? What possibly could be out there all these years later?
Yeah. So sort of out of hand, one thing you're probably not going to be able to look at or deal with is what you are seeing in some of the other cases that are publicly out there right now, which is the cell site or cell tower analysis data. from the provider side, you know, saying that somebody was in a certain area at a certain time and pinged off a certain cell tower. That data from the major providers is generally not going to be available, you know, certainly not 8 years out, and much, much, you know, less amount of time, depending on which provider you're dealing with. The data that could be there is, you know, any phones that would have been in the possession of either the decedent or somebody that may have been involved allegedly in the death of decedent. That could still be out there. And so that could include, you know, if the decedent's family still has that phone from that point in time, that could be something that law enforcement could take a look at and potentially find, you know, media, location data, you know, maybe giving bearing on other GPS or cell tower data that can be recovered from the phone. Mm-hmm. That may give information about what, you know, where that individual was, what they were up to in the moments leading to their death. And certainly if there are any targets of that investigation, if there are, older phones out there, that could be analyzed for basically the same types of information, you know, location data, which would be GPS, which can be very specific up to a couple hundred feet, or accurate to a couple hundred feet rather, or, cell tower analysis data, which isn't good for, you know, it's not good to put me at a certain pinpoint spot at a point in time. But it's good to put me in a general area at a certain point in time. Another interesting thing that may be out there, if there is a target or targets in mind, are, you know, with many types of like Apple phones now, for instance, you know, you buy a new phone, you get it out of the box, you transfer the data from your old phone to your new phone. And many times, certain types of data is preserved on the old phone to the new phone because it's transferring that data at sort of a whole database level. So all the, you know, your text messages, your contacts, certain other types of, again, maybe media and location information is being moved over wholesale. And so, you know, we're seeing now we're analyzing new phones that may have data from, you know, 7-8 years ago on them, because as people get new phones, they transfer the data one to the next, and that data has survived from many years ago. So that's something that law enforcement may take a look at as well.
Well, the issue with that is Stephen, I'm sure, hasn't gotten upgrades on his phone in 8 years. So
yeah, the decedent, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I was thinking more in terms of if there are, you know, suspects, targets in mind.
Oh, I hear what you're saying. Okay, yes, yeah. Yes. So essentially, we'll just say, because everybody's thinking it, if there is someone who is involved in this case, they may want to get rid of their phone around this point in time or destroy it. Although that data is probably on the cloud, though, correct?
It depends. You know, iCloud came about, I don't have the exact date, but it's been over 10 years ago now.
So sure.
If people are using iPhones, then absolutely that could be out there.
Mm-hmm.
If you set your phone to do that, it's a much more common thing now this minute than maybe it was 8 years ago.
Sure.
And then if somebody used an Android phone, I mean, that has evolved over time too. But 8 years ago, in my personal experience, I mean, we run a lot of phones through our lab. There wasn't as much going on with the Android cloud-based data as maybe there is now.
With something of this nature and it being that many years ago, I know sometimes people do keep their devices. Sometimes they are just thrown away. Would the biggest treasure trove for the Stephen Smith family be to actually still have his device in hand?
Yeah, I think so. Depending on the type of device, you know, it's kind of it's this cat and mouse game with people like me who do analysis of these devices, and then the providers, you know, Apple, Samsung, and so Android, who make these devices and operating systems. So a phone from 8 years ago, you know, it's very make and model and operating system dependent. But a phone from 8 years ago, we're going to have a much better run at in terms of all the data that we can possibly get off of it than maybe an iCloud backup or an iTunes backup or even a newer iPhone that you know just came off the shelf yesterday. Because the community that I work in has had time to really pick that data apart and figure out how to get the most out of it. So yes, a phone from 8 years ago would most likely be the best treasure trove from that perspective.
When we hear about the cloud, I mean, even, you know, 8 years ago, the cloud did exist. It was maybe we were relatively new and we were all kind of maybe understanding it better. But it was, you store it there, it will be there forever. Is that really accurate in terms of, well, we're questioning what could be there or could not be there, but we are talking about more technical data, not just someone's pictures or things of that nature. Is there a time window that you see with these companies that store this data, the technical type data that no one's going to be looking back on and reminiscing about years later of just moving it off and getting rid of it because it's not relevant unless it's being subpoenaed at a crime?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, if you're talking about the cell tower data, again, time varies by provider, but certainly not. I mean, 8 years past, that data has long since rolled off. I mean, think back to even in 2014, like the Edward Snowden NSA disclosures that came out. It was why the government was doing what it was doing, right, in terms of collecting and storing this large amount of what we'll call metadata, you know, data about data, because the providers just were not storing it. And the government deemed that useful for, you know, for various types of national security investigations. So, yeah, that's been going on for a long time. And I mean, even with Apple's policy with their whole phone backups, for instance, their stated policy is Apple whole phone backups will time out after 6 months. At least that's the stated policy today. Now, have I seen data sitting on the cloud that has been past that 6 month period? Certainly. You know, there are whole phone backups sitting out there. And then there are other types of Apple, what I'll call data streams, you know, your messages, your photos, that kind of thing that don't have that expiration period attached to them as well. So it does depend on the type of data we're talking about.
What about social media? That was something that obviously very, you know, still popular in 2015, maybe talking more heavy on Facebook at that moment in time. But would, I know Facebook at that time started to memorialize people's Facebook pages if they had passed away. I have a friend that passed around that time as well, and his Facebook page is still there as a memorial. People can post and such. I don't know personally what happened with Steven's social media page, if it turned into that or not, but would those outlets, not a phone provider, but social media, whether it be Facebook, at the time, you know, Twitter, MySpace was gone by then. Anything like that, would that sort of thing be relevant, or would it be something that could be accessed as well through, say, a warrant or something to Facebook?
You know, you can always try. It's probably worth doing. And, you know, you may get, if you've got the decedent's social media, you know, it's sitting out there, and maybe it is, as you said, a memorial page or some other type of preserved state. I mean, one thing I will say is with certain types of social media, and again, it varies, right? With you know, Twitter's got a different policy from Facebook, Instagram, and others. But you know, once you truly delete an account or a profile, there's typically like a lag period because these providers don't want you to completely sort of opt out of their platform, right? They want you to come back. And so even if you delete a profile, there's a period of time where you've got the option to sort of reconsider and come back in, and your data is still there. But again, that 8 years probably not. It's probably long past. But to your point, you know, if you know that data is out there, I mean, it's probably worth getting a warrant and investigating that and seeing where that leads you. I personally have not looked at a you know, sort of memorial Facebook page. So I know, you know, when you upload data to those providers on the public side, you know, that data has been scrubbed. So like a picture, what I mean by that is a picture that I would upload to Facebook isn't necessarily going to have my camera type and my GPS data and all that kind of stuff that would be in the version of the picture on my phone, if I'm just, you know, the general public looking at that. But it would be interesting. And if I'm law enforcement, I may be interested in finding out what types of data those providers may still retain. And the answer may be that there's nothing there, but there's no harm in trying to check.
There's inevitably, if they're still alive, someone out there that is seeing this news going, oh, crap, and wondering what could they be found, whoever that may be. And I'm not insinuating any one person here whatsoever. But would at this point, I think the human reaction, if you are that person, would be, oh my God, I'm going to go through everything I have from that time period that may have information on it and scrub it right now, going and deleting it. The way that things work at this point, does that do any bit of good if subpoenas and warrants and all that will be issued in the coming weeks or months to potential suspects if they try to delete things at this point?
It depends on that time period. Again, you know, if somebody saw this coming a while back and started deleting those things, and this piece was maybe under the radar, that might have done some good. You know, there are mechanisms out there that law enforcement has in terms of working with those social media providers where you can send a notice, and you may be familiar with this in other cases, but you can send a notice that is something short of, you know, an actual search warrant that's basically, hey, preserve everything you got because I'm going to be coming for this data, potentially coming for this data later. Under federal law, there is that mechanism to get that data preserved, but maybe not in the hands of law enforcement yet. So if I'm law enforcement and I've got, you know, people in mind potentially that I'm looking at, I'm going to have sent or will soon send that preservation notice to those providers. So even though I'm not receiving the data yet as the government, I can put those providers on notice that, hey, you know, please make sure nothing is deleted because I may be coming for this later.
Which would be relevant and would make sense if you're issuing that to a provider. But if the attorney letter goes out to potential suspects, like, we require you to hold all this information. Someone's having a bonfire that night, essentially.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, this would be a legal mechanism that would be something with a bit more legal weight behind it than just a preservation letter from an attorney. You know, sure. On the civil side, if I'm thinking about suing somebody and I issue a letter that says, we may sue you soon. Preserve everything from this point forward. That's a little bit different from what I'm talking about.
Sure. Of course. I totally understand that. From your perspective of someone who works in this area, and I know your area is digital and things of that nature, but if you're having a conversation with colleagues in law enforcement that are coming to you and they're asking for you to try and dig up this kind of information, just from a personal standpoint, working with other cases in the past, what else, even beyond the scope of what you look into, would you be suggesting law enforcement to look into in a case like this where the body's been gone for 8 years and, you know, there really was no investigation to begin with? What other angles, if any, can you think of for them to be looking into to try and find information about that time with Stephen Smith?
Gosh, yeah. I mean, I've been trained for so long. I mean, I've been running the company I run right now exclusively for about 10 years. And so I'm always thinking about where are all of the electronics? So, you know, scraping up any you know, laptops, hard drives, thumb drives. I mean, think about all the stuff you got sitting in boxes at home that you've probably forgotten about. Those are the kinds of things I'd be thinking there. To your point about the cloud, I mean, people forget, you know, I've got an old email address from 20 years ago I hardly use that, you know, when you're thinking back that far, I mean, it's like interviewing when I go to interview custodians in a case, and when I say custodians, I mean, like people who hold information or hold data, there's always going to be something else. So you start talking to those people about, you know, what phones did you have? What email addresses did you have? What kind of computers were you using back then? And you get through the first pass and you start looking into that and you say, hey, wait a minute. You know, what is this Yahoo account I keep seeing? Or what is this other thing I keep seeing? And they're like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that one. Let me go back and you know, get you access to that. And so that process, the investigative process, you know, whether it's on the electronic side, or if I'm an assigned detective on the case, just trying to talk to people and figure out who else knows what, going through that multiple stage process is sort of jogging people's memory, looking at the evidence you do have, following up on those additional leads, because there's that long ago, you know, some people are not going to remember things that they were doing that at the time may have not struck them as particularly relevant. You know, that investigative process of just continuing to loop back and dig for more information is going to be really important.
And to Stephen's parents, I mean, they're only going to know so much because, you know, a parent only oftentimes knows so much as to what their kids are saying that they're doing. Getting in with Stephen's friends and such of the time, I'd assume would be another very powerful way of going, how are you communicating with him at the time? Not even necessarily about the content in that conversation. Certainly, that would be another conversation to have, but just the logistics of what were you guys using to communicate around that point in time? So maybe they could even look into maybe still active friends accounts and such, where maybe those messages were coming and going from, because that information could be potentially stored by a third party, maybe not in whole for all of his communications, but certain communications with certain people would or could possibly still exist if those people are still alive.
Oh, yeah, totally. And that's a good point in terms of, let's say his phone is no longer there, but you know who his friends were, and you go out and start following up with them, or maybe even you look at that memorial Facebook page and see who they were communicating with around that time, and law enforcement starts talking to those people, and one of them says, oh, yeah, I've still got my phone in a drawer from 10 years ago, I know, or 8 years ago. I know it's got communications with him on it. You can sort of reverse engineer to some extent some of those communications that are maybe on the phone that's gone, if the decedent's phone is actually gone, and piece together through third parties some of the data that you may have otherwise gotten on that device that's just nowhere else at this point.
Interesting way of looking at it to try and find that data and areas that likely have not been looked at, because this was never a criminal matter and nothing was ever subpoenaed or had any sort of warrant for search in it in the past.
Right. That's right.
So there could be a whole trove of stuff just waiting out there as that investigation finally gets underway.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
Clark, thank you so much for your insight into this. I want to continue our conversation as well. I want to talk about Brian Koberger a little bit. That'll be coming up on the feed, and about some of those digital forensics that we know about and maybe some things we're not even thinking about. We'll get it from Clark's perspective in just a few moments. Press subscribe, like I said, wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss this. You can get a commercial-free version of the program by going through Apple Podcasts and signing up there. You can even try it for 3 days free. We appreciate that support. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.